Listening to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. The evolution starts here. The way you work and we play. The way you lay them up and down. What you do and what you say. The revolution starts now. Yeah, the revolution starts now. Yeah, the revolution starts now. In your own backyard, in your own hometown. What you do is standing around. Just follow your heart. Your revolution starts now.
This is WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro.
The rank refuse of unchained ambition. And pray, deny me not, but know me now. Your faithful retainer stands resolute to serve his liege lord without recompense, perchance to fall and perish namelessly. No flag-draped beer or muffled drum to set the cadence.
Is it okay?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
This is Dick Paddock with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show. I'm the co-host. Here on WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro, 103.5 on your FM dial. Or at WCOMFM.org, should you happen to be wanting to use your computer to listen and get that really great sound that always comes out of computers.
Yes.
So, this is a sort of a continuation of last week's show.
Yeah.
Where Minister Campbell of the NAACP and Rogers Road community came by and talked a little bit, and he didn't have enough time to get all he wanted, so we invited him to come back. So, Lori, I'll let you take over the interview.
Okay. Hey, folks. I'm Lori Hoyt, co-host with the fabulous Dick Paddock, who's engineer and co-host. And we have an internee trainee, Emily O'Hare, learning the board with Dick. He'll have backup, and at some point maybe she can also become backup for me and be an interviewer or whatever it is that we do. But we're delighted to have Reverend Campbell back with us. We talked last week about two important topics. One is national and one is local. The big national one that is ongoing and is still, I think, creating a movement around the country, which is Ferguson and the shooting of an unarmed black teenager, Mike Brown. And the local that we'll be talking about too is the intrepid Rogers Road community that for over 40 years has fought back to try to get this town and community to keep its promises that the landfill would not be there forever, although it seemed like forever after over 40 years, and that that some justice would be done. And so that part of our talk today is going to be a celebration of the new community building. So I'm going to quit talking about it and get Reverend Campbell. Thank you for coming. We're so delighted to have you.
I'm glad to be here, and thank you so much for inviting me. It gave me the opportunity to speak about such a great occasion, the opening of the Rogers Road Community Center at 101 Eggert Street, Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Yes, the ribbon cutting was just about 2 weeks ago or so, I think there was a great community outpouring, and that talk about diversity, it really... One of the times that you felt glad to be in this community, there was white and black, young and old, politicians and officials, and us regular folks and people, particularly people from that Rogers Road community who have fought back, pushed back for over 40 years for justice. And it was a beautiful morning, cold but bright, and our spirits were bright.
Yes, yes. It often it painted a picture of one of the things that we often talk about, the diversity that is in that community, and also it's a melting pot of culture. And what we saw on that ribbon cutting day was an example of how we can bring change into our society. When you have the resident, you got the politician, you have a mixture of who we are coming together to celebrate. If we can all sit down at the table and have those discussions that brought forth the building of the Rogers Road Community Center, then we can really have really sustainable change. And that's what it'll take, us all working together for the better of our society.
Absolutely. You know, for some years I've heard the term the beloved community, and that gave me a real feeling and picture of what it can be, because what was so moving, everybody's face was so friendly, so warm, so joyous. Everybody, you know, had these almost silly grins plastered on their face because everybody was just so pleased and happy to be there and to see that beautiful building.
And it is still going on. This weekend, we look out after we had carried some of the donation inside the building. There are about 15 to 20 kids outside playing. Knowing that we could not let them in, but we came up with a solution because we know that they needed some water and they need to go to the restroom. We let them in two by two to celebrate the coming in of that community center. That is why it is so important to give the resident, the children, their parents, a safe haven to come together and enjoy each other. And that beauty is still going on. And I think that seed from that ribbon-cutting celebration is in fertile ground.
Yeah.
And we're going to see it's going to sprout up like a mustard plant coming from such a small seed, such a great, vibrant, enjoyable place for all these kids and their parents could come together and continue building on our society to make it the best it can be.
So there's been the ribbon cutting. The building is done, but it's not furnished yet, so it's not officially open for the kids yet. You need to get, some chairs and tables and everything.
We practically need near about everything. We are looking for computers. We're looking for shelving. We're looking for kitchen utensils. We're going to do such a roundabout that we're going to help build the whole person from learning the academic part, wellness, as well as food safety and nutrition workshops. So we need all these type of supplies. Mm-hmm. But most of all, you know, we are still looking for volunteers to come out. We haven't got the funding yet that we need to have a full-paid staff.
But
we're always open for volunteers
right.
to come in. And we are working with such a small staff right now. The students is in their winter mode right now, the ones that come in from UNC to volunteer to help tutor. But we are still going forward with the tutoring program. Sister Karen Reed, she comes in and she works with the children about every day.
So do you have any places to sit, any chairs?
Yeah, we have some chairs.
A few chairs.
We have some chairs. But we have not really gotten into the community center yet. We're still waiting for the permit to move in. There's some little tweaks and torts that have to be taken care of according to the inspector. But we're looking forward to being there so we can have our Christmas toy giveaway.
Okay. So where are they doing the tutoring now? In Karen's house? Or?
No, we're doing it at Faith Tabernacle Oasis of Love International
Church. Oh, at the church still.
The bishop reached out and brought us
in. Oh, yes. She was there then.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, she's been such a
support. She was a safety net for us.
She was for the community. Because for those of you who don't know, there was a little house that somebody had let the Rogers Road community people use right on the periphery of the neighborhood there. It was a little but sweet little house.
Oh, yes.
About four room, one of the little kind of houses that was so many around. And things were going strong. So many programs, tutoring and after school and this and that. But then after it was in full swing for what, a year or two?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. The town sent some building inspector, and of course, being as old as it was, it didn't have sprinklers, it didn't quite meet some code, and it just seemed very unfortunate at the timing, but the bishop from Faith Tabernacle, Oasis of Love Church, stepped forward and save the day.
Yes, yes.
And save the programs and save them for the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, oh boy. So it's been a journey, hasn't it?
It has. But you know, in that journey, we have had the opportunity to sit and talk with so many politicians to have a discussion about how we can really bring change to this community and let the community feel like they are part of this beloved community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once they saw the joy on the little faces at the ribbon cutting, then some were like, wow, this is something I'm so glad I was a part of.
A little belatedly for some, but some step forward more quickly.
Yes.
But I think one of our county commissioners, Mark Dorison, there would, of course, in anything like a ribbon cutting, there's many speeches, not too many, but there were some. And I thought that I really appreciated Mark Dorison's words that he addressed us all with, in that he talked about that this was not that the politicians not to pat themselves on the back, that they were pretty slow and it took a long time, but he gave full credit to the community for keeping that pressure on and keeping that it's because of the community that building was there, because the community would not let it go and kept pushing forward to have that happen. And I was so glad that he worded it. I'm just paraphrasing, not as well as he spoke, but the gist of it, where he gave the main credit, the full credit to the community that building was there.
Yes, and we often define, when we talk about community, we're not just talking about the community on Rogers Road. We're talking about the community of Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure came from the people from Northern Orange, people from East Orange, South Orange, and even some from Chatham County came in to voice their opinion about how we should move forward.
Yeah.
And I think that is the collective that we need if we're going to do any type of change.
Yes.
That voice come from all across our county,
yeah,
our community. And
because for some years it was the Rogers Road people felt kind of alone, sort of battling the big forces of money and power. And then as other parts of the community, churches and different organizations, WILF.
Oh, yes.
And as they started getting this support from all parts of the community, that empowered. And it was a way to get the politicians to start listening a little more seriously, a little more attentively, and really start making some definite plans, not just giving pious words.
Yeah, so true. We often say we have gone beyond where so few that have the power that are still stuck back in the days of black and white.
Yeah.
We have gone beyond that. We have grown. But it's just those stragglers that seem to have the financial power to kind of hold people down,
mm-hmm,
those that have a little power. But we say, well, you may have power, but you don't have the authority to use it until the people speaks. And once the people speak, then you got the order to go forward and do what you have been requested to do.
Yeah.
We're not going to order you, but we're going to make a request, and this is who we are. This is the demographic picture, mm-hmm, of Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so diverse that you can't say, well, it's not black, it's not white.
Mm-hmm.
That the mixture of culture have changed what we see standing in front of us. And that is the impression that we always want to put out before us,
yeah,
when we are requesting something from our politician.
Yeah.
We are requesting change, an everlasting change.
Yeah. Well, it's like the old union idea, and unity there is strength. You know, each if you just have one little strand of a rope, but by itself it can be broken, but it get it all pulling together, it makes a very strong, much, much more difficult to break apart. And that's what happened, and it is a hopeful sign for moving forward. You know, that there will be funding for staffing, and that there will be some funding for programs. And I think already there's some good volunteers from the university students.
Yes,
that's great.
Yes,
and great for them. Great for them to get that opportunity.
Well, some of them have been here for 2 years,
mm-hmm,
and they really didn't know where Rogers Road was.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know the makeup of Rogers Road.
Mm-hmm.
But once they got there and they saw all the little people coming in and how exciting the little people was to get to meet them, it's just like, oh, I got new friends now. Some of my friends go to UNC. That is fine. Now that is the type of message we want to teach our young people.
Yeah.
That you have friends, but in order to keep those friends, you got to continue to show yourself to be friendly,
mm-hmm,
and begin to learn. And that's why, and one of the best things that they did was they cared the little people down to UNC. Mm-hmm. They enjoyed themselves that day, mm-hmm, and they want to know, when are we going back? Can't we do this every week? Well, not yet. But
that,
we're working on it.
But that's so important for those children to, because, you know, when you don't have a lot of money and your parents are working two jobs, you don't, a lot of times you stay in a very narrow jurisdiction. You don't move too far out of where it's safe.
That is true.
And I can remember for myself growing up in Hempstead, Long Island, and you had a certain way where I walked to church and to school. But if I went to the street where I bore off to the right, if I turned left, because we didn't have a car, we were struggling financially. And if I turned left and walked down about a mile and a half, there was Hofstra College. Now, I had no idea that college was there.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, I don't know, they probably realized it. They didn't think to mention it. You know, they were busy trying to survive. And it just made me realize when kids, even in big cities where there's museums and stuff, if somebody doesn't encourage them out of their little few blocks where they feel safe, and if they're not encouraged to go and outside of that, to go to museums to see what the college is like, they don't. And that, I think, is invaluable, that they can see, hey, I can go there, you know.
Yes, yes.
And I'm welcome, and there's this beautiful sidewalks there I could walk on, and, you know, and all the things that are there, they're for me, too, as a citizen here.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's wonderful.
Then, you know, it's a good thing. Even our schools are taking our young people on more and more field trips.
Yes.
That give them exposure to what is outside their community. It helps build them. It helps give them a goal to reach for, to build that hope that there is something out there. Mm-hmm. How do I get there?
Mm-hmm.
And every invitation that that our young people get, they enjoy and they are excited, and they want to know, when can we go? And how can we go? And we figure out a way of getting them there.
Yeah. So I hope that the trip over to UNC becomes like, you know, a couple times a year, that this gets to be a regular trip, that they get to realize it's not that far and not that hard to get to as they get a little bit older, of course, and can go on their own. So this is really exciting. There's still some work to do. You mentioned something about a Christmas tour for toys.
Yes, we do an annual Christmas toy and clothes, light clothes giveaway, especially during the winter months. A lot of young people are standing beside the waiting for their buses in the morning. They don't have toboggans. They don't have scarves. They don't have gloves. Yeah. They don't have real heavy warm coats. So we ask people to give a donation. Just bring a new clothes item, new unwrapped toys, and just bring them to our site. And we are scheduled to give those items away on the 20th of December. We're hoping and we are praying that we'll be in our new community center by the 20th of December.
You are.
And I believe that. I believe we're going to be there. A lot of people are really pushing to make this work.
So this, you need the, what is it called, the certificate of occupancy, that
yes,
all the inspectors come and say it's safe.
Yes.
That's the main thing, not the furnishings.
It's the main, yes, that's the main thing. That the building is safe.
Mm-hmm.
You can get in there. You got a safe route in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the main thing, and make sure that it's still accessible to everyone,
mm-hmm,
handicap accessible, and mm-hmm, that the children can reach the water fountain and do what they have to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes a lot of people to make it work, and I think all the pieces are coming together.
Wonderful.
Matter of fact, when I was leaving out today, they was out there putting the forms in so they could pour the concrete for the passageway of the doors in and out. And so that was one of the things that they had to correct. So hopefully
okay,
tomorrow, if it don't rain, that they go ahead and pour the concrete and get it done. So I'm saying, Lord, hold back the rain.
Hold back the rain. Well, this is like the most positive and exciting thing to happen in this community for a long, long time. And as I say, I think the whole community is taking joy in it and feeling good about being part of this community. And part, we all feel part of the Rogers Road community. Now, you're right, it's there for all of us. And
yes.
Yeah. So there's a... So if somebody wants to volunteer, should we give the number over the air?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
About, so that you already have some tutors, but you could use a lot more volunteers when it opens, right?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you should call?
Call David Caldwell and Rose Caldwell. And that number is 919-967-4442.
967-4442. Okay, so Rose and David Caldwell are in at 967-4442. I'm going to write that down because I'll have to want to call them one of these times, too. I'm not a trained reading specialist, but I like to read books to kids, so I could do a little something.
Please do.
Yeah,
please do.
Yeah. And so that's one thing. And then the other thing to keep in mind, that just about everything is needed. Art supplies. Now we're talking the main emphasis before December 20th is some warm jackets and coats and
toboggans
and yes. mittens and all that kind of stuff to keep with the kids waiting for the bus. Sometimes those buses take a long time to come. Yeah.
Yes, and we also ask them for new unwrapped toys from from ages from 3 years old up to 17.
Okay.
We try to
So don't have them wrapped so you can see what it
is. So when the parents come to get them, they can see what they are,
mm-hmm.
and they can look at the ages on them, you know, mm-hmm. and choose for their children.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that we'll be able to supply enough for 120-some families.
100.
And we hope that each one of them get 4 gifts like they did last year.
Wow. So where do people bring these gifts? Do they bring them to the church?
We're going to be at Faith Tabernacle from Monday through Thursday from 2:30 until 5:30. By calling David and Rose, you can set up an appointment to drop them off at the community center, and you get an opportunity to get a tour of the community center.
Okay. So if you are in a rush and want to just go over to the church on Monday through Thursday from 2:30
to 5,
when that's when you have your after-school program,
yes.
somebody will be there. So you can drop things off then, or you can call 919-967-4442 for David or Rose Caldwell, and they'll set up a time with you and at your convenience. And meet you over at the community center, and you can drop your donations off and also get a tour, if you've missed it, of that wonderful building.
Yes.
Okay. And then I think once you get the certificate of occupancy, I guess it would be really good to have some kind of list that we could pass out to churches and other places about the
yes.
to kind of spark people's creativity about what's needed.
That is true.
Kitchen stuff, mm-hmm. I'm sure paper goods, just everything.
Yes. And that's what we're waiting on to get that certificate, so we actually put it on our website.
Oh.
That all these other items that we need
oh,
now.
Oh, it'll be on the website.
It'll be on the web. It'll be on our website.
And what is the website?
The website is will be changing, but right now you can reach us at rogersroad.wordpress.com. That's rogersroad.wordpress.com.
Okay.
Our new site will be renacenter.com, but it's not complete yet. We're working on it. We want to wait until we got our address
mm-hmm.
and our phone number, so when we put the information out there, we don't have to go back in there and keep changing.
Okay. So right now, it's rogersroad.wordpress.com.
Yes.
And WordPress, I take it, would be all one word. And Rogers
all
Road,
one word.
Rogers Road, all one word. Okay, folks, there's all kinds of ways to get in touch and be part of this this wonderful community, and it'll give you so much satisfaction and good feeling to feel a part of it and to be doing your little bit to help this community move forward. We're about ready to do our station break. So, Reverend Campbell, just catch your breath a little bit and
Yes. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show on WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. An all-volunteer radio station, an all-volunteer group in the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And
yeah, we're all volunteers.
Yes, we're
the radio,
all volunteering.
WILF, Rogers Road people. Where would this
community? And the Raging Grannies.
And the Raging Grannies. Where
yes.
would this? Where
come
would,
here and see.
Where would? Oh, I got to talk to you about that too for Martin Luther King Day. Don't let me forget. So where would we be without volunteers? That's the strength that keeps this community a real community.
And you can find information about the Women's International League at the Women's International League website for the Triangle, which is trianglewilpf.org. And the station's website, as I said earlier, is wcomfm.org. You can go there to get the station schedule and to connect up through your computer to listen to the live show that's on the air. Excuse me. Or you can go to the page that has the also by Internationalist Bookstore at 1007, give or take, Lloyd Street here in Carrboro, within sight of my chair here. And I just stopped by to say hi to the folks over there today. And we will be having one of their people, probably Katie, will be coming here for an interview within a week or two. We'll have to
set a time.
Yeah,
we'll be absolutely delighted to have them. They've been our underwriter since our program started more than 5 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
And so they've been with us, and we've been proud to be having them be our underwriter.
And another all-volunteer group.
Another all-volunteer group that's been going in this community for, what, 25 years?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's their group that's dear to our heart also. So, and where else? Is there any announcements we need to make? Well, let's make an announcement for Reverend Campbell is the head of, is it chair or president of the
President.
President of our local Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP. And by the way, congratulations to Dick Paddock, who is a new third vice president. And he's been a faithful attendee for these many years, along with myself and other WILF members. We are big supporters of the NAACP. And there's a meeting this Saturday.
This Saturday at Hog Ridge Community Center, starting at 1 p.m.
From 1 to 2:30?
Yes.
From 1 to 2:30. So the public, you're invited. It's a diverse group, young and old, black and white, rich and poor, mostly not too rich, but... very, very diverse group, and it's a very interesting group to belong to. You find out a lot of what's happening in the community, particularly focused on racial matters, but not just on that. And so you feel, feel welcome to come. Everybody's welcome. We're trying to build membership there, like we're trying to build membership with WILF. All organizations these days of the internet, it's a struggle to get people out to meetings, isn't
it?
Yeah. So we wanted to put a plug in for that on this Saturday, the first Saturday of the month. So that'll be December 6th.
Yes.
So,
and WILF will have a meeting on the second Saturday.
Ours is always
the second.
Which
is the
13th.
Ten o'clock.
10 o'clock.
We'll
be having coffee and bagels, if that'll entice somebody to come.
Yeah, and it's at the Friends Meeting House on Raleigh Road near...
right around the corner from the Playmakers.
That's right, right around the corner from the Playmakers, and just down the road from the big cemetery.
Yeah.
And we encourage you all to come
We're
by.
A little livelier than our neighbors in the cemetery.
Right.
We have I couldn't resist. Anyhow, so there's all kinds of good things to go to support. And so, Reverend Campbell, should we talk a little about the NAACP or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's an organization that is rooted and grounded in not just only in this community, but across this nation. And there are organizations internationally. We are dealing with social issues, education issues, affordable housing, issues that that affected us all.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs. So it is mm-hmm. very active.
Mm-hmm.
We have been a very strong supporter of the More Monday movement
that Absolutely. Has
been taking place in Raleigh. We are a large supporter of HK on J.
And that's
coming up in February.
February 8th. And the Martin Luther King Day is coming up, his birthday, January 19th. And there is always a community.
And there's the Freedom Day that's coming up January the 1st from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at First Baptist Church.
You know, a lot of people don't know or realize about that. I only found out about that just relatively few years ago. Do you want to tell us about the origin of that?
Well, some people call it Freedom Day. Some people call it the Emancipation Proclamation mm-hmm. Review Day. It goes by so many different names, but it is where we come together and we celebrate when we got the news that the proclamation had been signed and had been delivered across the nation. It is where we come and we celebrate freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It also brings the cultures together mm-hmm. that we in solidarity. It is an opportunity to start the year off as unified.
Yes.
Even though we might seem to pull away from each other because there are so many different thing that we are doing, but if we look at it, we are all is working on repairing, rebuilding, and regrouping under the banner of peace and justice.
I love it. So it's going to be at First Baptist Church.
First Baptist at 9 a.m. in the morning, the first day of January, until 10:30 a.m.
So it's not real early, and if you get to bed even by 2 in the morning, you still can be up.
Oh, yes.
and, of course, for some of us who are a little older, we're in bed quite a bit earlier than that. So 9 o'clock, and if you're a little late, that's okay. You know, there'll be room in the church for you. Come on in and join with your neighbors and members of the community to start the year off right in unity together and celebrating freedom.
Yes, our speaker is going to be attorney Irvin Joyner. He is the representative also with the NAACP that also helped some of the cases for the arrestees that had got arrested during the Moral Monday events that was taking place across Raleigh. So come out, give us some support, and just listen to, because he always has a great message about interpreting the law and voting rights and civil rights. And so what are we talking about right now? We are talking about civil rights. We are talking about how we view and put what have happened in Ferguson under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
What is the opinion? How mm-hmm. things should have went and why they should have went one way rather than another. And so we still have all these issues to deal with, and he might give us some insight on how we should review and what we need to do to make sure things like this doesn't happen again.
Absolutely. And speaking of Ferguson, I feel heartened that so many times people get upset and there's some protests and then it all dies down. But God bless the people in Ferguson and other people around the country. They have kept this issue alive, protesting day after day after day. And believe me, if you've ever been at protests, it gets boring standing around. You get tired. Your feet start hurting. So I applaud people who are keeping this issue alive all over the country. And there's just so many newspaper articles looking at different aspects of it, you know, looking at what the president's response is and could it have been better? At least some people are saying, well, at least it's a step, you know, that whole militarization of equipment going to police, military, like for war on their citizens, tanks and things like that. He's not saying he's going to stop it, but they're going to look at it much more closely. So like somebody said, this is a step. You know, we've got to keep paying attention to make sure that there is real change. You know, how are police trained? All of that. Reverend Barber, speaking of Moral Monday, and by the way, when Reverend Campbell just talked about the arrestees, I just want to remind some people who have not paid as much attention as some of us that over 900 people over those few months stepped forward to be arrested to show that they, you know, want change and that they want justice in this state and they don't want the clock rolled back on Medicare and Medicaid, on education and all the things. So it's been one positive note. And Reverend Barber, our hero, left this week to go, and I think there's going to be a march of people from all over the country marching from Ferguson to the state capitol, I believe. I'm not quite sure.
That is one of the plans. We haven't got the total the full details of it yet, but that is one of the things that is in the making. And, you know, for some that really tends to ask the question, why is all this is taking place? Well, one thing I could say is that it's taking place because we understand that something was not done morally right.
Mm-hmm.
When one lose their life in such a way like this, we have to look at it. Could we as the people do something that make this better?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way things are moving now, it appears to be a movement rather than just a moment.
Exactly.
It's a movement that's saying, let us review the way we disperse justice.
Mm-hmm.
Let us look at how we interpret the law that is written. Do we need to rewrite the law to make sure that everybody is treated equally?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is putting our justice system not just on a national scope, but an international scope. If we are going to be peacemakers around the world, we got to start at home and make sure that we are talking about equal justice for everyone.
And I think what's become clear, Ferguson was there's been all this has been simmering, and Trayvon Martin, case after case, the guy in New York with the illegal chokehold, the father of four, the little boy in the park playing with his toy gun. It's been happening over and over and over again, and there was something, I think, about the callousness of leaving his body lying in the street there for 4 hours, that just somehow, it was that spark that lit the fire, that it was like, enough is enough, you know. Where is the respect for black people and especially black males in this country? And what kind of danger are they in to just even walking down the street? And I think it's just really hit people's consciousness, and it is a moral issue. And I think all of this has been simmering, and it's been there, and all of a sudden people are saying enough is enough. So it's broader than Ferguson. It's really looking at police practices all over the country. Mm-hmm. Eugene Robinson in the News and Observer, there's been article after article in the paper, but on yesterday, December 2nd, he has this article, When Police Are Too Quick to Kill. And he says, Michael Brown's death was part of a tragic and unacceptable pattern. Police officers in the United States shoot and kill civilians in shockingly high numbers. How many killings are there each year? No one can say for sure because police departments don't want us to know. They don't report this to the FBI. The FBI has some statistics, but they don't have to report, so many of them don't. So this is one of the things that some people who are trying to see we need change, they're trying to say we've got to get absolute, you know, clearer statistics and know what's going on in this country. And so there's many, many suggestions and ideas out there about how to improve things, and especially when it comes to police training. I mean, I was shocked to listen to somebody on one of the radio shows, on, I think on NPR, talking, and he was a professor who did police training. And somebody brought up about, you know, why don't they, like, shoot, you know, as a warning. He said, well, they should use their guns as a last resort. So by the time they're going to use their gun, they're going to shoot to kill, you know, because it's like, in other words, we don't go for shooting at the legs anymore. I thought, what am I hearing here? Right. You know, and this was somebody, in all seriousness, because it is a last resort. When they get that gun, then they really feel that their life is in danger. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, whatever happened to warning shots? And I think you brought up last week, why didn't he just stay in his car with the windows up and call for a backup?
Yes.
And somebody else said, why didn't he just get in his car and drive away and get back up? You know, what is this? I've got to duke it out with somebody?
Well, I mean, you know, look at it then. I mean, because you were jaywalking or you wasn't impeding the traffic, you were just walking in the middle of the road. Is that a real reason to die? So yeah. we have to
jaywalking. Jaywalking is not a capital offense.
No, and so you know you have to be able to think on your feet as a police officer. You have to be able to make quick judgment, and I think in this situation, even to the point where it had been rumor, and I think it had was brought out that even the way they was asked to get out of the street provoked. Mm-hmm. The reaction that came forth.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was not enough for deadly force. And so how do we go back and how do we change the way we do things?
And learn de-escalation instead of escalation.
Yes. My thing is that if you're in a situation where a gun must be pulled, then the question to ask, where were your backup? And even putting on body cameras to record what is going on, will that be something that make us think twice before? Will that cause a police officer to be in danger? My mm-hmm. thing is that as a trained police officer, you are taught how to observe the environment that you think to go into. If you don't see the firepower, then you still take caution. And if there was a call for you to come into an area, then you're not going to be the only one to go in. Your backup is going to be coming. Wait till your backup gets there. In this situation, you just have to be coming down the road and you saw somebody walk, saw two people walking in the road.
In the road, and they didn't know anything about the possible stealing of something in a little store or something. That was not anything to do with that situation right then and there. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, police are supposed to be the servants of the people. Where do they get off talking in that rough tone of voice, you know, to people? You know, I mean, they may not do it to me as an older white woman, but they might, and that would get my back up, you know. And right away you start feeling like, what, you know, get huffy. But because I have that protection.
Well, you know, there's something that comes up every now and then, what they call white privilege.
Yes.
I could, as a Afro-American, there are certain things I do not say because I know it provokes.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some white men that will say things not only to young Afro-Americans, but they also say it to young women, regardless of what race they are.
Yeah.
But they think they can get away with that.
Yeah.
Because there's no one around to hear me say it.
Yeah.
It's not being recorded because I'm too far from the car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my my communication device on
mm-hmm.
when I say these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take the words of the officer before we take the words of the victim
mm-hmm.
or that person that mm-hmm. is being apprehended.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to really look at it. Am I innocent or am I guilty before I go into the courts?
Mm-hmm.
Do I get an opportunity to go into courts to find out whether I'm innocent or guilty?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like some is taking the law in their own hand.
Mm-hmm.
They are the judge and the executioner.
Executioner.
So when did that stop?
Yes, when did that start?
When the people rise up and began to speak justice into injustice. We have to go into the chambers, and we have to speak to the politician. Things need to change. The laws that were written in 1920, 1776, we have to look at it because our nation have changed. So we need to look at it and come up with a new interpretation of what does this law mean?
Yeah.
Just think about the group that was allowed to bring arms into Ferguson as though they was coming in to protect the business. They had more firepower than the police officer in Ferguson and just as much firepower as the National Guards that were standing by.
What group was that?
The Oath Keepers. The Oath Keepers.
I didn't know about
that. An organization that they allowed to come into Ferguson. But I remember in the 60s when the Black Panther went to the courthouse in California, that's when they came up with the new gun law.
Yes.
And so are we really putting justice out in equally? When you allow another group to come in with guns, but if the Black Panther would have ended up in Ferguson with guns, that would have been a whole different ball game.
Yes.
Well, yes. I'm not saying for people to bear arms and go into places like this, but we have to look at it when we allow an organization that is not military, they're not National Guards, and they're not police officers, why are we allowing them to come in with AK-47?
I didn't know.
And automatic rifles.
Whoa.
This is what we have to look at.
Yeah. Well, and this is also about the culture. This is another article on Monday in the News and Observer. In America, by a different columnist, Stacey Patton, in America, Black children don't get to be children. And it says, Black America has again been reminded that its children are not seen as worthy of being alive, in part because they are not seen as children at all, but as menacing threats to white lives. America does not extend the fundamental elements of childhood to black boys and girls. Black childhood is considered innately inferior, dangerous, and indistinguishable from black adulthood. And that they tell about different things where they think that they're older and bigger than they are. Just like that little boy in the park, 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. You know, they're seen as more dangerous and bigger. And then it says, but then the other thing they do at the other side of that is they superheroize them. You know, where that police officer, Darren Wilson, it was so chilling to me listening to him describe his confrontation in that interview with Stephanopoulos, saying that he described Brown as a demon, aggressive, and said that Brown had taunted him by saying, "You're too much of a something to shoot me." Similarly, George Zimmerman told police that teenager Trayvon Martin threatened him during their fight. So they go and attack these kids, and then they say, "Oh, they threatened me." And so the 6'4", 210-pound Wilson told the jury, "I feel like a 5-year-old holding on to Hulk Hogan. That's how big he felt and how small I felt just from grasping his arm." Now, that says something very weird about it. Now, this was not a little 5'8" police officer. Mm-hmm. This was as tall and almost, you know, a few pounds difference, but a big police officer. He felt like a 5-year-old just grasping his arm. And it shows this kind of demonizing and fear, you know, the irrational fear. And I think you made the point last week. If he felt like that, he should not be a police officer.
That's right. If he feels like a 5-year-old, he's got no business out there.
No,
he had no business with a gun. Yeah. You know, I felt that he screwed himself that by saying he was trying to get sympathy, but it is the
new form of throwdown.
Of what?
Throwdown is a process that they used in the olden days. If there had been a shooting, they would throw down a gun that had folded and say he had this gun.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
The new throwdown is the new strip that you're finding officers like that. Even if you listen to what Trayvon Martin shooting, and Zimmerman had something similar to that.
Yeah. That's,
and it demonized the victim.
Yeah.
Rather than being honest about the appearance.
Yeah.
And so listen to what he's saying and how his testimony went by. It was stripped. This is what you do when a situation like this happened. And you're finding it being repeated. And listen to, even with the young guy that got shot in the park, listen to what that officer said and compare all three of those statements. It's stripped. It's stripped. Yeah. It's written. You learn this, and this is your throwdown.
Yeah. Well, I know. So this is a provocative article. I recommend people read the News and Observer because there's a lot of very good stuff in it. I'm always promoting people reading our local Chapel Hill paper. There's so much in there and in this. But there's a whole lot in this, too, about, with the little boy, the 12-year-old, he being tall for his age, you know. They right away try to say they're bigger, scarier, you know. They don't let him see him as kids. And yet at the same time, there's new information coming out about adolescence and how they're now saying it's like a 10-year period that it starts earlier, puberty starts earlier, and it goes on longer into the 20s. So here's an 18-year-old, you know, and kids do some impulsive things when they're adolescents, and yet they're acting like they're a Hulk. Well, this demon is going to really hurt me, and I feel like a 5-year-old. So that tells you a lot of work to be done.
A lot of work to be done. Even the food that we eat.
With the whites. The whites have big problems.
The steroids and the stuff that is going in our food.
Oh, boy.
Why is there such a growth different? But at the same time, the vision, what you see, and how you describe what you see.
Yeah.
We have to look at that. And if you look at it, it almost that each one of the situation there's appear to be similarities in the script that is being said,
mm-hmm.
how they identify their victim,
mm-hmm.
and so you begin to this questionable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this points out with going back, this goes into back to the Civil War period. I'm going to make a copy of this because it's a fascinating article, this article about black children don't get to be children.
We're going to have to get off the air now.
This was Mondays.
Mondays,
and the other one I read was Tuesdays. So, Reverend Campbell, we are so happy that you were able to come tonight. We're so pleased always to have you.
Well, thank you.
And we'll see you on Saturday.
Yes. Yes.
Remember to stay tuned for Chris Fitzsimon.
Yes.
From North Carolina Policy Watch with his weekly News and Views show. And we'll be with you next week.
And we'll be with you next week. Well.
News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, Wednesdays, 6 p.m., here on WCOM. Join host Fred Wasser for Breathing Room, Jazz and Standards, noon Saturdays, here on WCOM.